Isaiah chapter 10. We begin our study today in verse 1. And this is our seventh study in the book of Isaiah. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 10. Verse 1, God says, "Woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees." God does not like unfair laws, and he will punish those civil leaders who vote for them. And he will also punish and hold accountable the people in a free nation who knowingly vote for leaders who say they will promote unjust laws. Verse 2, to deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey, and robbing the fatherless. God is against the civil leaders who take advantage of the poor and the vulnerable. God will judge civil leaders. He is going to compare how they governed to the word of God. Verse 3. What will you do on the day of reckoning? When disaster comes from afar, to whom will you run for help? Where will you leave your riches? In other words, you won't know what to do when I start to punish you. Where will you hide on judgment day? 4. Nothing will remain but to cringe among the captives or fall among the slain. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. He is very upset with Israel. The Lord is angry. And because of that, the wicked will not be able to avoid punishment. They'll just be able to cringe when it comes. 5. Woe to the Assyrians, the rod of my anger, in whose hand is the club of my wrath. I sent him against a godless nation, and that would be Israel. I dispatch him against the people who anger me, to seize loot and snatch plunder, and to trample them down like mud in the streets. The Assyrians did not know the one true God, but God will still use them to punish his people. He is the whip that God will use, or they are the whip that God will use to punish his people. 7. But this is not what he intends. This isn't what Assyria thinks is going on. This is not what he has in mind. His purpose is to destroy, to put an end to many nations. God will use Assyria to punish his people, give them the punishment that they deserve because of their sin. The Assyrians, however, only care about being cruel. All Assyria wants to do is destroy. And they are arrogant. Listen, verse 8. Are not my commanders all kings? He says, very arrogant. Verse 9. Has not Kelno fared like Carchemish? Is not Hamath like Arpad, and Samaria like Damascus? And so the Assyrians here are arrogantly boasting of the cities they have captured as they draw closer to Judah and God's people. And then notice verse 10, Assyria is still boasting. As my hand seized the kingdoms of the idols, kingdoms whose images excelled those of Jerusalem and Samaria, shall I not deal with Jerusalem and her images as I dealt with Samaria and her idols? And you see, that's the king of Assyria's fatal mistake. His arrogance really got the best of him. The king of Assyria says, "All those places I have captured were very strong, but I beat them anyway. Those other countries, they had lots of gods, and none of them were a match for me. So I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to defeat them, and I'm going to defeat the God of Israel also." Like I said, that was Syria's fatal mistake to start talking like that. Verse 12. When the Lord has finished all his work against Mount Zion and Jerusalem, in other words, when he's finished chastening them, punishing them for their sins, he will say, "I will punish the king of Assyria for the willful pride of his heart and the haughty look of his eyes." So Assyria is going to get theirs for being so arrogant. Assyria thought that they controlled history because they were so powerful. And they will learn that God is in charge and that they have just been a tool in his hand. 13. For he says, this is Assyria talking, "By the strength of my hand I have done this, and by my wisdom, because I have understanding, I removed boundaries of nations and plundered her treasures. Like a mighty one, I subdued their kings." See, the king of Assyria was sure that he had won all his battles by his own strength and wisdom. He didn't give any credit to the one true God. 14. As one reaches into a nest, so my hand reached for the wealth of the nations. As men gathered abandoned eggs, so I gathered all the countries. Not one flapped a wing or opened its mouth to chirp. The king says, "I'm so tough that I defeated nations as easy as picking up eggs off the ground. That's how powerful I am. That's how great I am." That's what the king of Assyria is thinking. That's how he's talking. Listen to what God says. Does the axe raise itself? Does the axe raise itself above him who swings it, or the saw boast against him who uses it? As if a rod were to wield him who lifts it up, or a club brandish him who is not wood. In other words, God is saying, "Assyria, you're talking like you're able to conquer all these countries because of your great strength. You don't even understand. You're just my instrument. You think you're bigger than me. And you think you're going to come to Jerusalem and squash me like you've done all the idols. You don't even know. You're just a tool in my hand. It's like an axe boasting against the person who's swinging it. You know, a rifle is a good weapon, but it's worthless if there isn't a soldier who knows how to aim and pull the trigger. God is the marksman. Assyria is the rifle. A rifle is a foolish thing if it boasts against the one who is pulling the trigger." 16. Therefore the Lord Almighty will send a wasting disease upon his sturdy warriors. Under his pomp a fire will be kindled like a blazing flame. In one night, 185,000 Assyrian soldiers died. Where was all their sovereign power that night? God taught them a lesson, or God will teach them a lesson. Verse 17, the light of Israel will become a fire, their holy one a flame. In a single day it will burn and consume his thorns and his briars. God says, "Assyria, I will show you who is boss. I will be like a fire, and you will be like straw, and I will consume you." 18. The splendor of his forest and fertile fields, it will completely destroy, as when a sick man wastes away. God will destroy Assyria's forest and fields. 8 or 19. And the remaining trees of his forest will be so few that a child could write them down. In other words, what remains of Assyria After God gets finished with them, what remains would be so few that a little child could count them on their fingers. 20. In that day the remnant of Israel, the survivors of the house of Jacob, will no longer rely on him who struck them down, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. By the time God is finished disciplining his children, they're going to learn their lesson. They will not depend on anyone again except God. And that was their problem, you see. They sinned, they got in trouble. Instead of looking to God for help and repenting of their sin and asking God for help, they looked to their pagan neighbors. Well, God's teaching them a lesson. That's not going to work because they'll turn on you. And they did. 21, a remnant will return, a remnant of Jacob will return to the mighty God. The survivors among God's people will learn a hard lesson, but they will return to the Lord their God. 22, though your people, O Israel, be like the sand by the sea, only a remnant will return. Destruction has been decreed, overwhelming and righteous. God has decided that he will give his people the punishment they've got coming. Except for a few survivors, the rest will perish because of their sin. 23. The Lord Almighty will carry out the destruction decreed upon the whole land. God says every one of my people are going to be punished in one way or another. The whole land is going to suffer. 24. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says, O my people who live in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrians who beat you with a rod and lift up a club against you as Egypt did. Many years earlier, Egypt had been cruel to Israel just as Assyria is being cruel. And God says, don't be afraid of them. 25, very soon my anger against you will end and my wrath will be directed to their destruction. There's nothing Israel can do to stop the cruelty of Assyria because it is God's punishment. There's no point in getting frustrated because they're getting what they deserve, and it's going to continue until justice has been satisfied. Best thing they can do is get right with God and get ready for eternity. 26. The Lord Almighty will lash them with a whip, as when he struck down Midian at the rock of Oreb, and he will raise his staff over the waters as he did in Egypt. In other words, God will rescue his people when they have been punished sufficiently, and he is able to do that. He's done it many times in their history. 27. In that day their burden will be lifted from your shoulders, their yoke from your neck. The yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. God says, when I defeat Assyria for you, when I defeat Assyria for you, my people, it's going to feel like a heavy weight has been lifted off your back. 28. They enter Aeth. They pass through Migron. They store supplies at Michmash. And these are cities in the southern part of Israel north. And the Assyrians are marching through the land, headed toward Judah, or Israel south. Verse 29, they go over the pass and say, we will camp overnight at Geba. Ramah trembles, Gibeah of Saul flees. Cry out, O daughter of Galim. Listen, O Lahish. Poor Anathoth. Madmina is in flight. The people of Gebim take cover. The Assyrians had crossed the border into Israel south. And as a result, the people of the land are terrified. And God tells them to be terrified. Trouble is coming. 32. This day they will halt at Nob. They will shake their fist at the Mount of the daughter of Zion at the hill of Jerusalem. And so the Assyrians are going to march through the land, and they will make it as far as Nob, N-O-B, Nob, which is close enough to Jerusalem that they can see it. And when they see Jerusalem from Nob, they're going to shake their fist at it like, you're next. But look at verse 33. See, the Lord Almighty, will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled, the tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the Mighty One. The situation, God says, will appear to be hopeless. For God's people, it'll appear to be hopeless. Assyria is unstoppable, and humanly speaking, it will be hopeless. But when God says enough is enough, my people have been punished, they have learned their lesson, God will step in, and like a man with an axe, he will cut down their enemies. And we'll pick it up in chapter 11 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.